Heart and heart united together, seek rest in God's heart. Let your flames of love blaze towards the Savior. He the head, we his members. He the light, and we the shine. He the master, we the brothers. He is ours, we are his. Oh, come, children of grace, and renew your covenant. Swear love and loyalty to our conqueror from the bottom of your hearts. And if your chain of love lacks firmness and strength, oh, make supplication until Jesus strengthens it again. Oh, dear friend, unite your consecrated flock, that they may be as cordially united as was your last will. Yes, unite in the truth, which you yourself are in essence. All that is enlightened by your clarity indeed. Love, you have commanded that love should be practiced. Oh, make the dead, sluggish spirits full of life. Light the flame of love, so that everyone can see. We, as of one tribe, stand also for one man. Let us be united, as you are with the Father, until already here on this earth there is no longer a separated member. And let our light shine from you alone, so the world will recognize that we are your disciples. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, we warmly greet all of you who are now joined with us worldwide. Let us begin this day by remembering last weekend when we celebrated Pentecost. I would like to read a word from the Holy Scripture, from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear brothers and sisters, may this also happen to us, that the Holy Spirit may come upon us in all his fullness, so that everything that cannot stand before God may be cleared away. Dark thoughts, sickness, everything is cleansed and driven out by the Spirit of God. We long for these days in which we will also receive the fullness of the Spirit of God. Yes, we go forward and look upwards and wait for the things to come. But we know the Lord has promised it, and the Lord will fulfill it as he has decreed in his counsel. Let us persevere and hold fast. Let us stand firm and be prepared for the glorious day that is to come, that will certainly come when we do not expect it. Therefore, let us be ready for the glorious day. May the Lord prepare us and make us ready, so that when He comes, we will really be ready. May the Lord bless His servant, strengthen him in body, soul and spirit, equip him with everything he needs, so that the word will still be spoken to us in a powerful way. Let us pray together. Let us rise up to this. Faithful Heavenly Father, praise, honor and glory be to your wonderful and glorious name. We thank you for such precious promises on which we may build, on which we may hope. Lord, bless us on this day, and if it is your will, let your Spirit descend upon us in fullness today as we are gathered here. Lord, we need you. We need your guidance, your Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. Bless us today. Accomplish everything as you have planned. We thank you, Lord, that we can be here today in full expectation. Bless us. Bless your servant. We thank you in your marvelous and glorious name of Jesus. Amen. Let us read the Word of God together before we pray. I would like to read from Galatians 5. Maybe we'll read the whole chapter. It's not long. Galatians 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord, that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubles you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would there were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another.
Lasst uns nicht nach eitler Ehre begierig sein, einander nicht zum Streit herausfordern, einander nicht beneiden. Bis dahin,
up to here, this precious and holy word of God, let us rise to pray together. Faithful God, we thank you with all our hearts, also for this day of grace, and also for this hour, and especially for your precious and holy word, which you have addressed to us this evening. At that time, your servant Paul addressed it to the Galatians, but we know that your word still has the same power and the same validity, O Lord. And you have given grace and have preserved your word for us until this hour, until this moment. And today you speak to me and to us all through your precious and holy word. Faithful God, grant me grace and grant us all grace, that we may heed all the words you have spoken through your servants and apostles, that we may heed them, that we may obey them, that we may do them, that we may live by them, O God. For we want to enter your kingdom. We want to enter your glory. And you have set before us the things that cannot stand before you, O God. Give grace in my life, Lord. Give grace in all our lives. Where we are not so, Lord, cleanse us, cleanse me. We come as we are and ask you to have mercy on us, O God. Help us all, take away all faults, all defilement, O Lord. Lord, perhaps we seem so good in our own eyes. Faithful God, give grace that we may see ourselves in the mirror of your word, and not, Lord, look at our own good, O Lord, but in your mirror of the word, we see that there is nothing good about us. Have mercy on me, have mercy on us all. We ask you to be with us in this hour and continue to speak to us, O God, and bless all those who cannot be here. Bless, Lord, all your people, everywhere, in all places, Lord. We bring to you your children and those who may be especially in need or in misery, O God. Have mercy on them and bless them and make them happy, O God. O Lord, we also ask you not to pass us by, but bless us, O God, and help us, is my heartfelt desire and my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. I almost have to smile, but we have heard such a powerful word, and that before a prayer, a word from God before a prayer should encourage us to pray and invite and introduce us. But the Word invites us to such a powerful self-examination that is unrivaled. But we accept everything as it comes. Perhaps it is meant to be an hour of admonition, an hour of examination. And what could be more necessary than that? As you know, I wrote a circular letter and wanted to settle accounts with the past. And I am deeply shocked that I, not someone else, not you, and I mean that with a sincere heart, that I sometimes fell into it up to my ears. Today, for the rest of my life, I can't say to anyone, where was your head, or didn't you know the Bible, and so on and so forth. I have told the Lord that I will bear this lesson, which was so bitter, so hard, which I will bear until the end of my life anyway. Because that's how it was with Adam back then. He did not receive the curse of God, but the ground he had to till was thorns and thistles. Adam, with God's help, went out so far free. The sacrifice was slain. The two were clothed in skins. And God had settled the matter for them. But what lay ahead of him and accompanied him was anything but nice. But we won't go into that now. Each of us will quietly learn our own personal lessons. And it is important that we do not lash out against them, but allow them to be a blessing to us. We will also, I mean all of us, never again be able to look down on anyone, never again to be able to shake our heads, because we have all failed in certain respects. And if you see it that way, then you see everyone else as just as much a failure as yourself. And then you no longer settle accounts with anyone, but only have one wish, that God would get along with us. And he will surely succeed. For even if he had not quite succeeded in something, he is a potter, and he takes the vessel and throws it on the potter's wheel, and then there are no broken pieces as there would be with us, but a beautiful mess that he can mold anew. Don't ask me how this is possible with God, but that's how it is, because we had already learned the lesson from the prophet Jeremiah in this place, that the Lord is able to do this. And it literally says that if he has not succeeded with one vessel, he will mold a new one. With us, it would be broken pieces and no longer a vessel for eternity. With him, there are no broken pieces, but a new, usable vessel that can be a blessing. We have been given a word, as I have already said, that knocks us all to the ground, but also lifts us up. That is the way of God, to rebuke, but also to comfort. It is always like this. God never leaves anyone in despair. If he has to criticize something, then he does so, sometimes with great severity, but he does it in order to help. And every time, in the midst of what God says, a consolation, a hope will remain. We don't know God any other way. Certainly, if we take this scripture seriously, there is no one who gets away scot-free. None of us could say, Lord, I have kept all these things from my youth up, and the one who told the Lord this is down today. Is it true? Have you read Brother Branham's last sermon? Or is it still coming out? From the rich man and the poor young man. Right? This sermon. The man who said, Lord, I have kept all these things from my youth. He's down. And many others are up. So it's not a matter of us saying, Dear God, all this, whoever this may concern, but I feel not addressed. If that is the case, then I would advise us to stay at home. If so much self-righteousness animates us, then I don't know whether God can speak to us again. Only those whom God's word really speaks to in the depths of their hearts, God still has plans for him. If his word has nothing more to say to us and no longer speaks to us, then I don't know what else needs to happen or what God will do. We are told very clearly here, the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. The one is divine, and we may believe it or not, the other is diabolical. In between is man. Man is either animated by the spirit or by the spirits. The one is the Spirit of God, from which all the fruits of the Spirit come, and the other is spirits. But to perhaps make this clear with the one word from the letter of James, which we have also read often enough, just to show that it is not man alone, but that it is the enemy who does his thing. James 3, from verse 14. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. We would think that such wisdom is our wisdom. No, no, no. We are not that wise and clever. If these destructive qualities, bitter envying and strife, that is just like drunkenness and smoking addiction and all the other addictions, and whether we want to fully grasp it or not, but 100 years ago, nobody knew about addiction here and addiction there. But in the last few years, all sorts of things have moved across the globe. An addiction has spread. And if believers are now also addicted, whether they are addicted to quarreling or whatever kind of addiction it may be, then something is wrong. Then there is a demon and nothing else. And I reached a point where I begin to believe that a true conversion is connected with casting out devils. Why did the Lord say in the Great Commission, cast out devils? Already in Matthew 10, in Mark 16, everywhere. And when things like that are here, and I want to remind you, when Brother Branham gave that comparison with smoking and with drinking, and he says it's a demon that's in these people that causes this addiction, and then it drives them to it, to feeding that addiction. But it's a demon that is in people, that enslaves them, that makes them addicted, so that they cannot help themselves. Now we will say, oh my goodness, my dear Brother Frank, who are you talking tonight? No one. I just let myself be addressed and ask myself, how is it with me? How does it actually look in my heart? You know how quickly an argument can start, and you are always in the right. There is no other way. And then you boast and lie against the truth, because you have borne witness to having become a new man, and then the old bitterness and all the old things come out again. And then God's word tells us here, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. And it goes even further. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. We are back to the old theme, but I now ask myself, Should we set or make new resolutions? I'm reminded of a very old sermon by some old tent evangelist who called out with a mighty voice, "The road to hell is paved with good intentions." And that was over 30 years ago when I heard it. But it stays with me. Not the resolutions, not what we decide to do, because we can do that all our lives, but that doesn't do anything. Something actually has to happen in us that takes these addictions, these things that are not of God, out of us. We can't just suppress them or appease them or pretend they are not there. They have to come out. And I mean, God has to do something. But before that can happen, we have to realize that we cannot stand before Him like this, that we cannot put one new patch after another on an old garment. Otherwise, one day it will all come off again, but that something new has to happen. So, not new and good intentions, but a new and thorough experience with God. Who has a desire for this? Who is still gripped by it? Who does God's word still speak to? Here we are told, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh." A constant to and fro, a struggle. And it goes on, "And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." And then it comes very hard. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like." These are things that are held against us after such a long time of being a believer. And I think we should take it seriously. Perhaps God, and not just perhaps, but God will have meant well to shake us up, to make us realize the urgency of the experience with God. That we simply say, "Lord, that's not how it works." You know how quickly people take sides, how quickly envy spreads, how quickly all these things are there, and then it's already too late. The moment these things come out, but when do they come out? Only when they are still there. You can't get anything out if it's not there. But if it comes out, then it's there. And maybe God even allows it to let us know, "Friends, don't go over it, but realize how good I mean with you. If this still applies to you, then you are not what you should be." And I mean that God wants us all to be helped, that a new being, a new life emerges, completely liberated from everything that is listed here and everything else that belongs to the old man, that we become new people through the power of God, through the power of the blood and the word and the spirit. People who recognize Satan's cunning when he makes sedition somewhere, when he envies somewhere, when he provokes jealousy somewhere, and that happens very quickly. But it doesn't stop there. We see from the beginning with Cain and Abel, what did envy bring with it? Murder and manslaughter. No. We should become spiritual people, but not through good intentions. Only God can bring that about in us. I am deeply ashamed, and yet confident in looking up to God. What an intimate fellowship should be among us. What kind of connection with God and with each other should we have? How should our hearts burn for each other? And how should our first love have long since filled us? If it were up to me, we would take Saturday afternoons and get together to get to know each other. We don't even know each other. Yes, shall I say it again? We don't even know each other. It says in the book of Acts, they came together daily. No one had anything of their own in mind, but they all had everything for each other, united in this one divine love. Today, you almost have to beg to have fellowship with someone. The urge is not there. There is such a great lack. I tell you, I am stirred up like the sea, so close to the return of the Lord, so close to the greatest blessings of God. We are in this state. I realized only last night how careful you have to be when you are told, brother so-and-so, yeah? And if you don't hear two sides, then it's a one-sided thing. And you know what's one-sided? Always lopsided. Always lopsided. But the best thing is not to hear either side. The best thing is to lay everything before the Lord and bridle your tongue. That's still the best thing. But we are still on earth and things will come to us. What do we do with them? Can God use us and keep us in such situations? If only we could get to the point where the Lord could mark out His area for each of us, and that we would know exactly where we belong, and there my area of responsibility ends. That is the brother's area, the sister's area, wherever that may be. And we would really only pray for each other, without anyone saying anything, making a statement that could already become a burden for the third and the fourth. And he looks ahead and says, huh, the brother's preaching there, but that and that is probably not quite right either. Beloved, we should stay away from all such things and recognize that it is the enemy's trick to sow disunity, mistrust, and everything that goes with it. Then come discord, selfishness, and everything that goes with it. No, God wants to renew. God wants to do something. And we have heard His word. His word is the seed that we have received. No one will bring forth the fruits of the Spirit on their own. Let me tell you, even the baptism in the Spirit will not succeed if the divine seed of the word has not taken root in the child of God. There must be a plant, a tree on which the fruit grows. It cannot just stand in a vacuum, but must be deeply rooted. When it is written here, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith," that you can bring nothing with you, but that God has brought everything in Christ. And in the one sermon that we are currently translating, Brother Branham explains that when God had finished the work of creation, there was nothing more for Him to do. He had done everything. He rested. And when we read in the New Testament, then Christ also, having accomplished all things, sat down at the right hand of the majesty of God and waits until all enemies are made His footstool. He has done everything. And just as God as Creator has placed an order in the entire universe, and everything proceeds according to His spoken word, so God, who has pardoned and redeemed us in Christ, has placed the word in this redeemed church, so that everything proceeds through her according to His word. How far away are we from the divine order? And yet, we have come close to it by recognizing that things cannot go on like this. I don't want to increase anyone's unbelief, because we certainly have enough of that ourselves in times when we are not doing so well. No, but we want to stay real. If we believe that all things should and must be restored, then there is no way around to say to the Lord, "O God, just as our brothers and sisters experienced You in the beginning, so we want to experience You." What good is it for us to have heard the word and not be ready at the end? Thanks be to God today that He has put an end to the mixing. In the end, God wants a pure bride, a bride of Christ, unmixed, without any effort on our part, but pardoned by God, a bride in whom He could do everything, who has made herself available to Him. There is a deep longing in me that God could once again be gracious to us in the truest sense of the word and do what is still lacking in each and every one of us. And then we no longer judge anyone, look down on anyone, but look to the ground, to the dust from which we have been taken, and to the God in heaven, to whom we may go by grace. The two belong together. On the one hand, our misery, and this is what the Holy Scripture says, weep and howl, you who feel your misery. Woe to those who no longer feel it, who pass it by and think to themselves, all is fine. No, it's not like that. Our God wants to create divine order in us. We will never be able to do it. We will suppress things so beautifully. But that serves no one. Personally, I long with all my heart for God to do something so perfect. We will still be human beings, but not human beings full of strife, of fornication, full of debauchery, full of witchcraft and enmity and discord and selfishness and factions, envy and drunkenness and so forth, but people in whom the second part is fulfilled, namely that the fruits of the Spirit can be revealed. This happens in those who have experienced redemption. And brothers and sisters, we have emphasized it here and also translated it in Brother Branham's sermon. Conversion must experience an answer from above. Every convert needs a divine answer. And we have gone through this very clearly. And I hope that we also understand it. The Spirit of God is already at work and leads to repentance. The Spirit of God has been sent to open the eyes of the world, to convince of sin, of judgment, and of righteousness. Basically, the Spirit of God is already beginning to work on those who are yet to become believers. And we can all well remember that the Spirit of God has worked in a mighty way. But that is not the end of the Spirit's work. It is about conviction of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Then he leads to repentance, then to the renewing, to the new birth, up to the filling and sealing, so that nothing is really lacking, that we see every word we read somehow justified in our lives. When it's written, he who anointed you with his Spirit, that we say, yes, Lord, this has happened. When it's written, you have been renewed by the Spirit who has been poured out on you abundantly, that we say, yes, Lord, it is done. And when it's written, you have been equipped with a power from on high, that we say, yes, Lord, this has happened. But if we cannot say, yes, Lord, it is done, what must we say in order to be honest before God? Then we have to say, oh my God, it hasn't happened yet. And we go on. After all, the list goes on. And we realize that this hasn't happened yet, and that not, and that not. God does not want to abandon us to hopelessness, but he wants to tell us clearly, my children, if you want to stand before me, then every word of God must be fulfilled on you. Then every promise must come true. Then you must be renewed. There must be a new birth. There must be a new creature. Then my life must be in you. My Spirit must be able to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in you. Then all this must come. As I said, I see my own shortcomings to such an extent that I truly cannot raise my voice loudly here. But God's word speaks to us all equally. And it seems to me that the Lord is not just giving us one hand, but both hands. And He spreads them out and wants to say to us, listen, I mean well for you. I want you to be able to stand before me on that day. So God shows us the way. And believe me, even the greatest rebuke, when it is spoken in love by the Father in heaven, we realize that balm veils and surrounds everything, and we are not in despair, but strengthened in faith, and say, faithful Lord, let every word really become truth in my life. When the Bible speaks of being born again, we say, Lord, I want to have the experience as it is written in the book of God and as you intended it when you made the demand, and also with every other experience. Only then will we have been transferred from the first realm to the second. Just as it is written, probably in John 5:24, a Bible passage that Brother Branham loved to quote, our Lord said, he that believeth on me is passed from death unto life. Let me read it. I mean, it was and still is John 5:24. Let's see if that's even true. Yes, John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. But that doesn't change the fact that it is nevertheless written in Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then we are told, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, and whatever is written here. Verse 25 is also important. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It is indeed possible to have one without the other, that we could live out the life of the Spirit in our daily walk through the fruit of the Spirit by grace. For that is the point. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. You can already see where the Spirit ends, where walking in the Spirit ends, and where the ego begins, vainglory, provoking one another. You let yourself be lured out of the reserve, and then of course, envying one another. All this should be taken out, that we really say, oh my God, do something in us and to us for your glory. Let us experience a conversion, a renewal, a new birth, a baptism with the Holy Spirit and with fire, a sealing by the Spirit, as you promise in your word, and as you gave to our brothers and sisters at the beginning. We all read along from verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. This is what we have been talking about, to be able to serve one another through love. Any service that is not embedded in the love of God misses the mark. The love of God is like oil. The oil. Without the oil, nothing works. By love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I don't know whether this is actually written. Yes, probably in the Sermon on the Mount. Whatever you want people to do to you, do first to them. Is that written? Yes. I think it's even written in the Sermon on the Mount. But even here, if we were to do it ourselves, we would fall short. We will not succeed. But if the love of God is in our hearts, then it will be love that urges and drives us. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Here the apostle is not talking about unbelievers, but about believers, of those who have made a marvelous start, a beautiful start, as it says in verse 7. What good is the run-up? The end is crowned. And the question is, who stopped you from obeying the truth? The drive does not come from the one who calls you. Of course not. The Spirit of God will always give the divine drive and lead you back to the Word of God. It says here, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You can remember that. I said it here too. How beautifully our mothers needed what was meant to be leaven. They needed it so beautifully. And later, it was mixed into the new flour, and lo and behold, everything puffed up, and you looked and saw how the dough rose. That's what I said. Here it says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. We could go to the letter to the Corinthians. There is much to read. But that is not what we are here for today. but to seek the Lord in prayer, to tell Him everything. And we know that He is faithful. He would not talk to us like this. And yet, as I said earlier, the helping hand of God has been stretched out to us. No one needs to despair. No one needs to be put to shame. But no one should pass by as if God did not have something to say to us. We all want to draw near to Him in prayer and simply pray, brothers and sisters, simply pray. It is very important that we all seek our connection to God in prayer. God is faithful. I am convinced that if He still speaks to us, it is because He has intentions of love for us. If people no longer speak to each other, then it is very bad. Then for the most part, all that remains is judgment and condemnation. But if God still speaks, then there is still hope. There is still hope. And I'm confident in my God. And I know He has brought us this far. And He will bring us through to the glory and honor of His name. Amen. Let us come and worship. Heavenly Father, with all my heart, I thank You for Your precious and holy word. Lord, the end of all things is at hand. That is why You speak to us in such a clear way. We have made a good start. Lord, we have been delayed. And You say in the same letter to the Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has led you astray? He will have to pay for it. But Lord, we don't want to deal with that now. Now it's about me, about us, each of us personally, to make a new start, not to stand still, but to take stock, draw a line under things, and make a new start with You, Lord, that You could restore all things, as You have restored us Your word, that all ministries, all gifts, all fruits, that everything would come back to Your church, O Lord, that we might come to know You, find one another in Your divine love, that everyone could accept each other as God has accepted us in Christ. O my God, put an end to all negativity, all thoughts, all words, all conversations, O Lord. Everything that does not build up destroys, my God. Make us people in whom You can be pleased. People who trust You, who believe You. Lord, You have spoken to us. Your word is a seed. We have received this seed within us. Now let the rain come, so that the seed may be brought forth. Lord, I have this faith that at the end of this age, You will have a harvest according to the sowing of Your perfectly revealed word. I thank You for it. And I will believe, Lord, that in the end, all hindrances have been taken out, and you are my witness, O God. And this dream vision of yours was, when I saw the wheat field, overripe, golden yellow, the ears full bent, that there were no weeds and no thistles, pure wheat as it could be. Lord, the harvest still has to be brought in. I ask you, faithful God in heaven, to let us witness it and share in it, being brought in at the last minute, when all the clouds of judgment are gathering and we have given up all hope. Suddenly you intervene. Light shines through the opening of the clouds and illuminates not the whole world, but the wheat field, and it is brought in. My God, here we are. If you want to use others, do so. Will you let us recognize the share you have given us in your kingdom? And together we ask for clear and true experiences with you, Lord, for clear guidance of your Holy Spirit in all that is yet to be done. We already give honor to your name for everything. Hallelujah. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord. We give thanks to the Lord, for he is kind, and his goodness endureth forever. It endures forever. It endures forever. Praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord. Even my soul, do not forget the good things he has done for you. What he has done for you. What he has done for you. His is the power. Almighty is God. His works are wise. And his love is new every morning. Is new every morning. Is new every morning. Great is the Lord. Yes, great is the Lord. His name is holy, and all the earth is full of his glory. Full of his glory. Is full of his glory. Worship him. Worship the Lord. With high reverence, his name is called by us too. His name is always called with high reverence. Sing to the Lord. Sing praises to the Lord. In joyful choirs. for he hears our song of praise. He hears our song of praise. Our song of praise.